I suppose it's fair to say the comedians set you on your way, but you'd already been very busy, hadn't you, Dougie, touring?
Yeah, well, I was with the rock and roll group from 1956 to 68, and then I sort of left. I had a daughter who was getting ready for school, and we were working mainly abroad or in Scotland, and I wanted her to go to school in Yorkshire, so I left the group and became a club act who sang a little bit and told an odd gag.
What was it like, being a family man, but having to be away from home so much?
Well, it's all been part of the job. I've never done anything else. You know, I've worked out cleaned windows for about 3 months, but apart from that, I mean, I have been extremely lucky. Like you said, you mentioned the comedians giving me the big thing. What happened with that was I was doing the good old days, and I won a competition, actually, at Manchester Palace about comedy. It was sponsored by the Stage Trade Paper. And one of the judges was Barney Colahan, and the other one was Johnny Hamp. And so when I got in the good old days, and then Johnny remembered me and put me up for the comedians in 1971, and instead of going out and earning thousands, which I should have done, I went away to learn how to act, because I just wanted to be in this business for such a long time, as long as I could, you know.
Yeah, you know, I love the comedians, and I'm sure a lot of people did, and it came over, Dougie, as being so much fun. Was it a lot of fun to do?
Oh, extremely funny, yeah. It was really good. A lot of people used to say, you know, what is it like Mike Reed like? Now, I never met Mike for about a year, because they thought we all stood in line and put our hand up when we knew a gag, you know, and it was all down to the fabulous editing of Johnny Hamp, the producer. He used to edit, and if somebody did a gag about a pig or a farmyard, then somebody else would do one, then he would link it together, you know. So he would, but it was just great fun. And I joined in 71, and the ones who, I think I'm the last of the very first recording. I don't think there's anybody else apart from Johnny Hamp who's left, because they've all passed on. But with like Stan Boardman and Mick Miller and Roy Walker, I'm doing some Sundays with them in Blackpool this year, and they joined about 5 or 6 years later, you know. So, but when we first started, we used to finish, we'd done so much material, we would have like cue sheets, you know. So you'd put a cue sheet in front of the camera. Of course, Bernard Manning would go and do everybody else's cue sheet. And you were biting your fingernails trying to think of what you could say, you know. It was good fun.
Frank Carson, Charlie Williams.
Yeah, Frank. Well, I used to feed Frank when I was with the group. We were in Scotland. He only said that I started doing comedy because he made it look so easy.
Oh, really?
Lovely man.
Great times, and a starting point for many of our best-loved talents. You mentioned Bernard Manning there. I mean, what was he like to work with and get on with?
Bernard, he did so much good, but he wanted it under the counter, because I'll give you a very quick example. There used to be a ukulele player called Alan Randall, and Alan was on his way down to Torquay, and his car broke down, and Bernard came past in his Cadillac and recognised Alan's number plate and pulled in front of him and said, "What's the matter?" And Alan Randall said, "The car's broken." It was raining. And Bernard said, "Well, look, get in my car." He said he had a driver with him. And he said, "There's a flask of coffee. You get yourself a coffee and I'll take a look at it." And he fixed his car for him. And Alan Randall said, "I'm going to let the newspapers know about this." And Bernard said, "Don't you dare. You'll ruin my image." So he did so much good for people, and he just didn't want it to be known, you know.